Welcome to Jesus-Centric Leadership. I'm here with Pastor Josh. I'm Donna. And today's topic is Leadership Unfiltered. Just step in and do it. Now, when we were talking through different topics, like what were we going to talk about? I was like, ooh, we should do one on the slogan, just do it. And I'll do the research on it and we'll talk about it. So I did. And if you remember, in 1988, Nike came out with this phrase of just do it. And I got so excited. This has to be deep. It's got to be meaningful. And basically, there was somebody who was convicted of murder. And at his execution, he said, let's do it. And that's where Nike got it. They used it 10 years later. And made this whole just do it. There's nothing deep. There's nothing profound. That's it. So thanks for joining our podcast today. No, I'm kidding.
It's weird. Can I just say it's weird?
It's so weird. There's nothing deep and profound about it. It's just that. So we're going to reel it back, not base it so much on Nike's just do it. But we want to talk about sometimes this imperfection, this messiness, and we talk about messy a lot here at Peace with Christ, right? The messy middle, we just got done with a sermon series on that. But this messiness, and I'm guilty of it. Sometimes I want things to be perfect, or I want things to be a certain way before I can make it happen. And there's some things in my new position. You came into my office a few times, and you were like, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Just do it. Right? Just step into it. You're not going to have it all perfect. You're not going to have perfect things, the perfect way, all of that. So I'm guilty of this. But why is taking imperfect action better than waiting for perfection in leadership? That's a tough
one. No, I think when you're waiting for perfect, it'll never come. I think about parenting. Like, it's real common now for people to decide when they want to be parents.
Right.
And I always tell them there's no perfect time to become a parent. Like, there's always going to be a reason not to. There's never a perfect time to change jobs. Like, there's never a perfect time to do something new. You're always going to find an excuse. But it really is this idea, if you're going to do something, you're going to have to move. And sometimes that's scary. But there's never a perfect time to do that. And so I would just say we have to lean into that.
So how do leaders lean into it? How do they overcome fear or hesitation? So let's say I really want to develop this ministry, or I really want to serve at church, or I really want to get a promotion in my job. And I'm afraid, or I'm hesitant, and I want that the right time. How do I move past that? How do I not lean into it?
Yeah, I think that's a hard question, because there's all, like, to tell you when the right time is, you're asking me a question that I can't answer. Because when we tell you what you're asking behind that question, you're asking, will this succeed? And a lot of times we want to know that before we jump. Will that succeed? That's really what you're asking. When you're saying, is this the right time for me to take this new job? You're asking, will I succeed? You're asking, will my values be better? Will my family be better? Will my finances be better? Will my life be better because I do this? Like, that's really what you're asking me. Is this the right time? And sometimes then we'll put that on God. Like, God, you need to give me a sign if this is the right thing. And I would just say that sometimes God uses your reason and your strength and wise people around you and the Bible as much as he gives you a vision or a lot of times we want the billboard on the side of the road that says, Donna, do the new thing.
Right.
But God's not going to do that. He's not going to call you out and say it's all going to be perfect.
So a couple of episodes ago, you talked about how we looked at the quote, put down your nets and follow me.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's that, right? He didn't guarantee them anything. Nothing.
Yeah.
He just said, I need you to stop what you're doing and I need you to follow me.
Yeah, and what if he would told him, this is what's going to happen to you.
Oh.
You're going to follow me for 4 years. We're going to be homeless a lot of times. Sometimes people feed us. Sometimes we'll go hungry. Then you're going to watch me die. Then a while later, you're all going to die. Right? Nobody's signing up for that.
No, I don't think so.
Right? Like, but yet, like, we usually, when we're asking, is this the right time to do this? We're asking, is this safe for me and is this good for me? And I'm not sure those are the right two questions. They're not necessarily bad questions, but they're not always the right questions either.
So is it bad to want to be successful? Is it bad to want to do ministry well and to want to jump in at that perfect time? Because again, you've had this conversation with me of, Donnie, you just got to do it. You got to quit waiting for that perfect moment. And I'm not a perfectionist in that way. I mean, I embrace the messy, but sometimes I do want the tangible also.
So I guess there's two parts of that, like, and not to get too psychological on it, but like you have to ask the question, why, right? Am I doing it? Am I doing it because I want to be perceived in a certain way? Or am I doing it because I want God to make an impact? Right. And I think a lot of times, like, we let the desire to be perceived a certain way and to be viewed a certain way overwhelm what God can do through us. Right. And I think that's a lot of times why we pause. We pause because, well, if I do this, I might be perceived as a failure when it doesn't go well. Right. Or people might have a different view. I've excelled at everything I've done. I don't want to not do it, right? Like, I don't want to not have this go well, right? When I think God is calling us to, yes, be strategic, yes, shoot for excellence, all these things, but sometimes he's calling us just to step out and trust him.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong on this, because stepping out of student ministry, having Thomas step in, and then leading this new area that I'm leading, that definitely was a thought in the back of my head. Like, what if I'm not good at this? What if I fail? And I kind of forgot the failures that I had in student ministry. I kind of forgot that the growth that took place in my time in student ministry. And all those things that are probably going to happen now.
Yeah.
But the fear of that probably is what held me back.
Yeah. Well, and I think that we see this sometimes in lay people too in our church. Like, you're really highly successful out in the world, and you come in here, and it's a different ball game. And I think, like, if you want, like, you may be highly skilled in your career, but how you serve Jesus is another thing. And I think I want to back up when I say that. I think you're serving Jesus in your career. But when you're serving Jesus in the way that's going to make disciples, it's going to have a kingdom impact, it's a different ball game. And so I think, like, the reality of it is you're going to have to be okay, even though if this was at work, you would excel. You might fail here learning how to be in ministry because it's a different game. And I'm going to fail in ministry, and we all are when we're trying to do new things.
Yeah, I think that's got to be a hard one to look at, because in my family, I could be knocking it out of the park in that season.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with work. But I'm a little hesitant because this is the church world may be a little bit more foreign to me.
Yeah.
And what God's calling me to may feel like a huge step.
Yeah, I lead people at work, but are they going to follow me in this church world, right? In this ministry aspect, right? Like, my kids trust me to provide for them, but do they trust me that when I start leading them in devotions or leading them in prayer or leading them in God's word, like, you know, those are sometimes two different things. And I think we just have to be willing to try and fail, and maybe some comfort in it too. It's interesting. And you can read the whole section, but Luke 10 verse 1, it says it like this: the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out ahead of them, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go, right? Like, this is Luke chapter 10. He really hasn't given them disciple training. They've kind of followed him around and did some things. And in fact, like the next 10 verses, he tells them how to go, but he really doesn't train them in what to do. He says, you know, teaches about being in relationships. He teaches about not taking failures too seriously, but he really doesn't train them how to go. He just tells them to kind of jump out there and do.
Why do you think that is? Like, why didn't he say, hey, first I need you to do this, and then I need you to do that, and then I want you to do this, and oh, don't forget.
Yeah. Well, because ministry isn't programmatic in the sense of here's the steps, but it's why the relational. And relational, like, you can learn more about relationships.
But it has more variables.
Yeah. And there's just so many variables when it comes to people. Right? Like, that's why I think, that's why all of ministry, even preaching, is so hard. You move from one church to the other, and it's totally different. Like, it probably took me, I think, 4 years to get in my groove preaching here when I had 18 years of preaching experience before, because it's so much, and I still got a lot to learn because the people are changing, right? Like, and I think that's the reality of any ministry, is that when it's centered around people, there's so many variables that you can learn truth from God, you can learn to be fed by Him, but ultimately you have to jump in and figure it out, which means failure. It's just a part of it.
How do you handle that failure, you personally? Like, because you're a leader, and and I know you've been pushed lately a little bit on sermons and things like that. You've had some people that have kind of spoken some challenge into you.
Yeah.
How do you handle that?
The first is to separate yourself from what you do. That who I am is utterly and totally contingent upon the grace of God. And so when I see, like, my view of myself or other people's view of me kind of shrinking, I have to go back and see what God's view of me is, which is I'm worth enough to die on the cross for the sins of the whole world. Like, that's what God told me.
Right.
Right. And so my value has to come from not what I do for God, but what God has done for me. And then I think that doesn't necessarily always make it easier, but it's freeing to then go out and really ask the question, like, how can I learn from this? Because I think God has placed other people around us to help us learn and be better. And if I have the audacity to think that I'm God's gift to humankind, and if the world just listened to me, it would be a better place. Like, if that audacity to believe that, then I'm making it all about me. And it's not all about me. It's about God's work and God's kingdom. And so other people can speak into me, and sometimes they're wrong. And sometimes they're off base, but sometimes they are right. And I get to take that seriously and take that to heart and learn from that.
Yeah. And it's almost, maybe not as extreme, but it's almost like what Blackaby said, like that crisis of faith brings you into a deeper relationship with God. So in the times when you are not feeling successful, you're not feeling, I don't know, like you're connecting, or it's not going to be perfect, to understand that that's where we actually are going deeper. That's where we're actually seeking God in a different way.
Yeah, I've really clung to this statement for a while. I used it in a sermon a long time ago, but I'm broken. Jesus is good. I'm broken. Jesus loves me. How do I live more in the second than the first? That I'm broken. Jesus loves me. And if those two things are true, like if you can agree with me that you're broken, I think we can agree with
that. Yes, absolutely.
That Jesus loves me, right? Then my goal of life has to be to live more out of the second. And by actually doing things and failing, that reminds myself what? That I'm broken. And then I go back to the fact that Jesus loves me. And actually, maybe the best spiritual discipline for you that you can possibly have is to mess up. And to be real about it. Not that we want you to mess up, but when you do, you're real about it, you're honest about it, you bring it into the light, and then you allow Jesus to tell you who you are. And I think sometimes it's easy to see that, like, Christianity's boring. We just, you know, go to church, we read our Bible, we pray, like, where's the action? But when you're actually going out and living this mission that Jesus has called you to, it's a lot more, dare I say, stressful. Is that fair?
Messy,
but it's actually good, because it's pulling you back into this, that no, I'm kind of broken and I'm going to screw things up, but guess what? I've got Jesus.
Yeah.
And I think it's a beautiful thing for your discipleship to to be on mission with God. So we say this all the time. Discipleship is not the knowledge in your head, but it's how you're living it out and then coming back to Jesus to learn more. Like, that's discipleship. That's why he sent out the 72. He wanted them to go out and experience how hard it was in order that they might come back and they might be discipled again. And that's, you know, the posture and heart that we get to have as Christians.
And that discipleship is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was listening to Kerry Newhoff, and it's a podcast and that you listen to a lot, and he's just a great leader. But he was talking about how discipleship is on the decline, and evangelism is, you know, a little bit on the rise, but it's the sweet spot of living in evangelism and discipleship.
Yeah.
And we've got to be fed, we've got to be in the Word, we've got to be in conversation with God to be able to live out evangelism successfully.
Yeah.
It's not an either or, it's a both and.
Yeah, and discipleship fails if we're not doing evangelism. Like, if I'm not going out and leading others to make an impact in the kingdom of God, then your discipleship is going to be shallow. Like, I'm just going to call it that, is shallow. Why? You can have all the right thinking about God, but not right living about how to follow God and love your neighbor, and you're failing, right? Like, and so I think we have to have both. We have to be, again, we said this last week, we have to be being with God, but also doing. We have to be going and serving and giving and all those things.
Yeah. Where do you think the disciples really struggled with this? Like, if you look at their call to just do it, because they were called to just do it. Come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. But when it got really hard, how did they handle that? What did they go to?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of it was running. Like, we see them running away from danger, right? Like, they're Jesus' followers. Peter even said, Jesus, I follow you to death. And then Peter runs. Right, John Mark was so scared that they grabbed him by his cloak and he ran away naked. Like, that's how scared he was. Like, and I think it was the uncomfortable, the fear of the unknown. Like, at Jesus' crucifixion, we see them being fairly decent up until that point. Like, they're arguing about who's the greatest. Peter's putting his foot in his mouth, but they do fairly well at kind of following Jesus. And even, you know, the sending out of the 72, nobody argues with Jesus. Nobody said, I'm not doing that. Like, they do a pretty good job until it was an unknown. And that's where I really
and
see.
And when they let fear overtake them.
Yeah, when they let fear overtake them, when they were not sure what was going to happen, when Jesus kind of, they saw some maybe weakness in Jesus even. Like, sometimes we miss that. Like, Jesus is being arrested and he lets it happen, right? But to the disciples, did they see him letting it happen? Or did they see that, well, maybe we got this guy wrong. If he's being letting himself be arrested, then he's not the Son of God. Right? Like, did they, you know, once they saw that Jesus wasn't in control of things, like, they could trust him when he calmed the storm, right? But could they trust him when he let something bad happen? And I think the same probably is true for us, right? It's easy to trust him, like, when we're leading a ministry or we're killing it or we're doing great or our family's all good. But do we trust him when it's not going so well? When we see maybe, and maybe we blame it on him, when we see chinks in the armor of God's provision, right? When we don't see the full picture, do we trust him then? Do we trust him when he's asking us to step out into the unknown and lead something new, and we're not sure if we're going to fail?
I think it was Casting Crowns a long time ago came up with the song, I Will Praise You in the Storm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we praise him in the storm? Can we hold on? Because the storms are going to come. The hard is going to come.
Yeah.
My life group says it this way. Can we just sit? Can we sit there in it, even if we become the campground director? Like, can we just sit and be and trust in him? Even if we're sitting so long, we're the campground director. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, yeah, I think that's really good. But with the understanding of, I think the one thing I don't like about that, so I'll just push back just a little.
Dude.
And I don't think it's where your home group was going, but I think as we're talking to leaders, I think there's this idea of, okay, I'm the campground director, but what am I going to try? What am I going to do? Because sometimes the camp director has this connotation that I'm just camping there.
I'm just kind of here. Right.
And it's not always, what do I do to get out of the campground?
Yeah.
But how do I still make an impact in the season God has given me? Because I think the campground director, I get what they're saying, and I agree. But the one thing I don't like is it lets us say, well, because I have this going on, I'm just here.
Poor me.
Yeah.
In a way.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's rather like, how do I use my woundedness to help somebody else?
Mm.
Right. And I've seen, and so I don't.
Mm. I like that.
I think your small group is actually good because I've seen them walk with others through their brokenness. And so they're caring for others as they're doing it. They're using their knowledge of what it means to be wounded to care for others. And I think that's the right way to think about it. But as we're that maybe campground director, what are we going to do to love other people or serve other people or share our faith with other people? Because sometimes our greatest witness of our faith can be in the moments of hard, not the moments of good.
Yeah.
Because somebody can't throw it in our face. Well, you believe that because God's been good to you.
Right.
He hasn't been good to me, so I can't believe him. Well, no, God hasn't been perfect to me either. He hasn't done everything I wanted, but yet, like, I still believe because he is good. That's maybe our brokenness might be the time of greatest witness.
That's great. I like that.
It's
I like
something.
It a lot. So what lessons can leaders learn from the Nike's just do it mindset? Not where it came from.
Yeah, right.
But what lesson can we learn? What's the big takeaway you would like leaders to really hear in this? Because we kind of diverted a few times.
Yeah.
But what is that? A couple of things. Hey, I really want you to remember this as you begin to lead a ministry or as you begin to step out a little bit more. Just don't forget.
Yeah, if Jesus has sent you, then just do something, right? Like, again, Luke 10:1, the Lord appointed 72 and sent them out. I believe if you're a Christian, you are sent out. Like, that's the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Like, that's all of our charge. And so at some level, we can find every excuse not to do something, but do something. Whether that's a conversation with your kids, a conversation with your neighbors, whether that's you jumping up and leading something, whether that's you serving, like, do something.
Yeah, don't abdicate it to somebody else.
Yeah.
You get the privilege to speak into your children, into your marriage, into this moment of ministry. Don't lose that opportunity.
Yeah.
And let God work through the messiness of it.
Yeah. I worked with a pastor that he remembers his son, when his son was playing Little League football, they were getting trounced by this other team. And the coach called him to the sidelines and said, just hit somebody. And I love that. And it's always stuck with me. And I think that's like, it's easy to look around. The Christian church is being trounced. Like, we're kind of not in our prestigious place anymore. We're not probably loved and respected in the world. Like, and I would just say, just hit something. Like, just do something. Just be a little more intentional with your kids. Be intentional a little bit more at work. Be intentional a little more at church. Just do something. And if it doesn't go right the first time, great. Recalibrate, learn from it, do something else. Even a failure when we're joining Jesus can be a great learning experience. And so sometimes you don't learn until you fail.
Yeah, I really think that's a great stopping spot. How'd you say that?
You fail. Well, and I'll give a story maybe for it real quick, too.
The follow Jesus, though. Say that again, though. Even if you're going to fail in joining Jesus.
You'll learn something. When you're on the mission, even when you fail, you learn something. We had one of our ushers, somebody asked how they could put in a prayer request, and he told him, well, there's the wall, go put it in. And afterwards, he felt really bad. He's like, I should have prayed for them. But now, like, he's being more intentional after doing that to pray with people. But I told him, like, he felt bad about it. I told him, no, because you failed at that, you learned something. You're being more intentional. Maybe that person didn't need prayed for. Maybe God sent them there to give you this experience, right? And so even when we fail in our mission with Jesus, he uses it as a learning experience.
But just do it.
Just do it. Not like Nike, but yeah.
Yeah, not like how they came up with it. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we look forward to our next Jesus-centric leadership. Have a great day.